Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence. We thank you for your word that challenges and encourages us in our journey with you. We ask that as we open your word, that you would speak very clearly. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are here this morning with some very important symbols in front of us. We have a privilege today of participating in the communion service. And as such, we welcome each one of you. As we talk about communion, some wonder, well, I'm not a member of this church. Is it okay for me to participate? I will tell you now, as I will confirm later on, if you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want Jesus to be a part of your life, then the answer is an emphatic yes. Communion service is such a privilege. And I'd like for us to explore that privilege for just a few moments here as we go back to the origins of communion. It goes way back to a group of slaves in Egypt. It's a group of people that have found themselves unable to make their own decisions, unable to do what they want to do, because their lives are controlled by a taskmaster. And it is the taskmaster's decision as to how their lives operate and how they run. And it is as they are there, enslaved, unable to make their own decisions, that someone comes named Moses. And Moses delivers a message to them. He says, God has sent me to you to declare to you that he is setting you free. Now, I'd like for you to consider the application in your life as we look at this story. Because as we go along in life, often we find ourselves to be in a similar condition. We find ourselves entrapped in things that we wish we were not entrapped in. We find ourselves enslaved. It could be an addiction. It could be feelings. It could be attitudes toward particular individuals. It's anything that you realize really is not what God wants, but that you've tried to avoid, but have not been successful in avoiding. It could even be your own struggle with your relationship with Jesus Christ, your insecurity as far as his love for you that is enslaving you. And so we follow the story. Moses goes in. He declares to them, the Lord has sent me to deliver this message to you that you are going to be set free. We will not look at the whole story, but I want to come to the night when God had said his people would be delivered. If we can forward to the next text on the screen. I didn't manage to grab my clicker here. It's Exodus chapter 12, verses 24 to 28. Exodus chapter 12, verses 24 to 28. I invite you to turn there with me. Exodus 12, 24 to 28. Moses started giving his people instructions, and I want us to look at the instructions and realize when they are given. He's saying, you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. He is talking about the celebration of a very special service called the Passover service. Verse 26, it shall be when your children shall say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover service of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel when he struck the Egyptians. Thank you very much. And delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. When is this message given? We might expect it to be given once they have been set free from slavery. Somewhat as a postscript. Now that you've been set free, this is what you will say to your children. But I believe it is an important fact that these instructions given to the children of Israel were given to them before they were free. They are slaves when they are told, "You are going to observe this service year after year after year as a celebration of what God has done for you." And so that night we look at the children of Israel and we see them gathering the things together. We see them take a lamb, kill that lamb and put the blood on the doorposts of their homes. And they begin celebrating deliverance before deliverance has taken place. And so it is crucial for us to understand. As God told them He would save them, they celebrated deliverance when? Before or after they were set free? It was before. They were celebrating their freedom before they had actually ever experienced it. It was hundreds of years later when Jesus sat with His disciples around the Passover table. He had asked His disciples to prepare it, and so all the emblems were there. The fresh juice of the grape, the unleavened bread, it was all there waiting for them as the disciples thought they would celebrate just another Passover. And then as Jesus sat there at that table, He began taking those symbols and He transformed them into something that you and I have the opportunity of participating in today. You see, an ancient prophecy had pointed forward to this moment. And I got the wrong text there. This is Jeremiah 31, 31 to 33. It says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their God, and they will be my people." The prophecy pointed to a time when there would be a real and genuine relationship between God and His children. And so as Jesus sat there at that communion table, it must have had an impact as Jesus said these words. The text says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What was Jesus saying? Jesus was explaining to His disciples that the time had come for the new covenant, which, by the way, really was that which God had made with Abraham and with His faithful from the beginning of time, His desire to be in their hearts, to have that genuine close relationship with them, to be the strength by which they would have victory. Today, Jesus offers to us His new covenant promise. But I'd like to emphasize something. Once again, When God gave his original Passover promise to his people, were they enslaved or were they free? They were enslaved. While they were slaves, God encouraged them to accept the reality of their victory. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it tells us, God being rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. The point here, it is while we were trapped that Jesus set us free. You see, Jesus didn't say, God did not say to the children of Israel, break free from your captors, and then I will lead you on to victory. He said to them, I have set you free. Celebrate your victory and move forward. And so we come here today, and it may be that we are looking at our lives and we are saying, you know, there's still some elements here that I'm struggling with. I really don't feel that I am walking in ultimate freedom. And if I'm not walking in ultimate freedom, how can I accept symbols of freedom? And it is my confident statement today that God is saying to each one of us, don't accept these symbols because you think you have already accomplished something. Accept these symbols as a reality of your future freedom in Jesus Christ. Accept these symbols because Jesus Christ has made a promise to you and I today that says you are free. Whatever it is that has come to your mind, that is a captivity for you. The Word of God says, by the power of Jesus Christ, you are free today. Move forward in your freedom. The children of Israel did not sit in their homes and celebrate freedom. They walked out of their homes. They walked away from that land. And they began their journey to ultimate rest. That journey has been a long road. And why do I say it has been a long road? It's because God's people have not yet experienced ultimate freedom. He is still leading us forward, step by step. Scripture tells us that there is a rest that remains for the people of God, and it is our privilege to move forward and accept that rest that he has given us. You see, God invites us today to accept this promise. He says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, that no one would boast. So we have been saved. We who were slaves in sin have been set free from sin by the grace of God. It is up to us to experience the reality of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. It is up to us to claim the gift and live it in our lives. The text concludes, we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared before that we would walk in them. So God has set us free and said, now you can walk. Now you can live out the freedom that I have offered to you. Now you can walk away from slavery and live in freedom. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 emphasizes this promise. It says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope an appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of what? Good works. So why do we get so focused on good works? I'll share with you the reason that I am convicted that we ought to be focused on good works. Because every time a good work happens, who's done it? Jesus has. Every time something good in our lives has happened, it's because God has worked a miracle in us and enabled us to take one more step toward liberty and one more step away from freedom. You see, we don't do the good works in order to save ourselves. We do the good works because Jesus has set us free. And he has called us and he has invited us and he has empowered us to move forward in his power and by his grace. And that is why we are here today. The symbols that we have before us, the grape juice, the bread, the symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus offers it to us today. Because he says to you and I, remember what I have done for you in the past, but know that there are greater victories to be gained. Remember, it is by the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary that we have been set free to truly live the lives that Jesus Christ has called us to live. We have come to celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. The way we are celebrating this today comes truly in two parts. We have the foot washing service, back to that first communion service where Jesus knelt and washed the feet of his disciples. His disciples hadn't caught the concept of the joy of service. And so Jesus knelt as the master and showed them that ultimately service is the way that you lead. The foot washing service truly teaches us two things. One, if we want to follow our master, we must serve as our master served. The other is illustrated when Jesus came to Peter. And Jesus began the process of washing Peter's feet, and Peter threw up his hands and he said, Lord, you will never wash my feet. What was Peter's problem? He didn't want Jesus to serve him. Jesus' reply, if I don't wash your feet, you will have no part with me in my kingdom. The second lesson we can learn from the foot washing service is not only that we must be able to serve, but we must be willing to be served, to accept the ministry of Jesus Christ in whatever form he may want to minister to us. The second part of our service is the communion service. And that is the accepting of these symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, realizing that they are symbols of not only our past victory, but our future. And so I would encourage you to participate today in this service, not because of what you have been able to accomplish, but because of what Jesus Christ has been able to accomplish for you. And because you want to say, yes, I want the power of Jesus Christ to work in me and through me and carry me forward in a relationship with him. And so again, if you love Jesus, if you want his power to work in your life, I would encourage you to join in this service. As we separate for the communion service, some of you that may not be familiar with our church here, we are where that star is as you go out the church on your right-hand side. I should have turned it this way. The men are in the first room on the right. The ladies are on the second room on the right, and the couples will be participating in the fellowship hall, which is at the far end of the walkway. Before we separate, I'd like to just pray with you as we accept this great gift that Jesus has given us. Father, you have done so much for us. We who find ourselves at times captured and enslaved, I thank you so much that you don't leave us or forsake us. I thank you for your promise that you have set us free by the death of Jesus Christ, that we can accept Jesus' death on Calvary as our death to sin. Such a privilege we have to be able to walk in freedom. And so as we participate in these services, as you have called us to do, as you have done, we ask that you will bless us. We ask that your Holy Spirit will fill our hearts. May we go out from here filled with hope because of what you are doing in our lives. We thank you for this privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.